Big news today out of the Supreme Court, which ruled that a Colorado baker had the legal right to refuse to make a wedding cake for a gay couple back in 2012. Josh Gerstein is a senior reporter with Politico, and he was outside the Supreme Court. Josh, this ruling is a little more complicated than a win for the bakers, right?
Yeah, it definitely went in favor of the baker, who's a fellow by the name of Jack Phillips, and said that his rights to religious freedom had been violated. But this is not sort of the worst case scenario that some who are supporters of LGBT rights would have feared, because it really focused on the way this specific baker was treated in the process. He's from Colorado. Most of the proceedings involved an anti-discrimination commission there in Colorado. And a majority of the court, it looks like basically a 7-2 majority of the court. So a couple of the Democratic appointees, along with all the Republican ones, said that there was evidence of hostility to his religious beliefs. So it seems like it's a relatively narrow opinion that in this specific case, the commissioners did and said some things that made people think that this was based on hostility to Phillips' religion, but that if that wasn't a key issue or wasn't obvious, the issues would have to be dealt with separately. And the court didn't say where it would come down at that point.
So basically it's saying that the baker didn't get a fair process, right? Because they assumed some sort of bias against him by the Colorado Civil Rights Commission?
Well, they claim they have actual evidence of bias, that there were a couple comments made by commissioners at different points in the process. One commissioner said, compared it to slavery and the Holocaust, and said that those things had been defended on religious grounds, and that trying to defend discrimination on religious grounds was one of the most despicable things you could do. And Kennedy and the majority of the court seized on that, as well as the way some other bakers have been treated, and some of the facts specific to this case, like the fact that Colorado, when this happened in 2012, didn't actually recognize same-sex marriage.
So does that mean that there'll have to be another case brought to the Supreme Court by another type of business or another person that feels that they've been discriminated against in order to get to the heart of this issue?
I think there probably will be. I mean, one of the questions would be if some of these comments had not been made, if the commission simply said that's discrimination, you can't do it, you have to make the cake, and didn't try to opine on Phillips' religious beliefs and whether they were or weren't legitimate reasons for what he was doing, then this would have been a different case. And remember, a lot of the way these cases are going to come out, at least with the court set up the way it is right now, depends on Justice Kennedy. He is one of the biggest proponents of gay rights on the court, probably responsible almost single-handedly for the ruling legalizing gay marriage nationwide. So I don't think he's going to permit gay rights to really be eviscerated. But he also wrote the opinion here saying that the baker's freedom of expression rights, and in this case, really freedom of religion rights, were violated. And I think that Kennedy is going to try to continue to police those lines, to assert that people can have their cake and eat it too, I guess, and that people's religious beliefs can be respected, and that people can also be treated fairly when they go into businesses. And some people would say the court basically punted on that issue today, leaving it to be resolved down the road.
So this really doesn't set a precedent, does it?
It sets a precedent, I think, only in very similar cases. You know, if you found another anti-discrimination panel that had made what were apparently or allegedly hostile comments about somebody's religion, if there were cases where you could show that somebody's in a similar situation got a different result, maybe in that situation it would be close enough to what happened with the Masterpiece Cake Shop that the Supreme Court opinion could be cited. But they actually say explicitly, we're leaving for down the road resolution of how these issues would be handled in different cases presenting different facts. I'm sure people will try to apply this case regardless of what side of the debate that they're on, but I don't think it gives them that much meat to hold on to.
So the issue of whether or not, say, someone goes into a cake shop or a flower shop or any type of shop today and says, I want to have something created for my same-sex marriage, and the person refuses, that's still up for debate. That has not been decided, correct?
It really hasn't been decided by the court. You see some people reacting to this on the gay rights side who are saying the sky is falling here, or the sky has fallen, and this is a serious blow. But many of the people who litigated the case say they're, you know, disappointed in the ruling. They don't think it should have come out this way. But the major issue of how to reconcile these rights in most of the cases you would come across, hasn't really been squarely dealt with by the Supreme Court.
There was another ruling today by the Supreme Court for an undocumented teen to get an abortion. Can you tell us a little bit about that case?
So this is a case having to do with and stemming from a Trump administration policy that is basically to make it more difficult to resist in virtually all cases efforts by teens who are in immigration custody to get abortions. The Trump administration tried to block several teenage girls from getting abortions, and several of them ended up in court. In the particular case that ended up at the Supreme Court, it actually went to the highest appeals court in Washington, the D.C. Circuit, to their full bench, and they upheld the order saying that that girl was entitled to get an abortion. It wouldn't be paid for by the government, but the government essentially had to step out of the way, allow her to be taken for this abortion and returned to immigration custody. The issue ended up at the Supreme Court in kind of an awkward way, which was she actually got the abortion following that court order. And so there were questions about whether the order was moot, whether it would stand as a precedent for other cases, and also whether some of the lawyers that were working for this young woman, this teenage girl, had been honest with their counterparts in the Trump administration about what their plans were. And the court sort of set aside that issue about the candor of the attorneys and said that this dispute was really moot because the girl had received her abortion. So it's another instance where the court has essentially punted. It did erase that lower court precedent on this issue, but it didn't say what would happen the next time a situation like this arises. And given the Trump administration's policy, it's a near certainty that, you know, these kinds of situations will come up again, and that there are almost certainly girls in immigration custody right now who will be seeking an abortion over the Trump administration's objections.
Josh Gerstein is a senior reporter for Politico. Josh, thanks for being with us.
Okay, Tanzina, anytime. Thank you.